Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to the first Sunday of the new year. It's hard to believe another year has gone by, isn't it? Just when we thought we had everything done, we didn't. So we got another year to complete that. So anyway, here's the announcements. Today, in addition to coffee and conversation, we're going to be having a feedback session with Pastor Linda to give her some feedback on her sermon this morning. So take good notes and be prepared to answer her questions. Next Sunday, for adult, we're going to be starting adult education. And we'll begin with a four-week study of the book of Philippians. So the last four Sundays in January, we'll be doing that. Philippians is a book of joy. Somebody called it that many, many years ago, and it's also a book of anticipation of what's coming, new beginnings kind of thing. So I think it's a good way to start the new year, get us off on the right track, so to speak. So I hope you'll stay for that as well. On Tuesday at noon, ladies' luncheon at the Saigon Cafe, and then next Saturday at 9:30 a.m., Covenant Park Bible Camp annual meeting is going to be held at Gethsemane Covenant Church in Hermantown. I believe those are the announcements. So would you stand with me and share the responsive reading, call to worship? Christ is risen. Oh, Christ is born. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness. I don't have my glasses on, you guys. So. I'm not trying to make up stuff. So let's start over again. Christ is born.
Hope and joy and peace are born.
God is born a person.
Persons can be born again.
No wonder the angels sing. Let us celebrate the birth of our Lord. Remain standing and turn to hymn number 148, Lo, How a Rose Here Blooming. Heavenly Father, we gather in your name. You have blessed us with a new year and all that goes with new beginnings, new goals, new resolutions, and new dreams and renewed hope. Thank you that we can move into the new year with confidence, looking ahead, knowing that you have a positive future for us, and it begins today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Morning, everyone. We're going to be doing a reading of God's Word, and the first reading is out of Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will tell of the Lord's kindness, I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Second reading is coming from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God.
Heavenly Father, we give with joy into your kingdom work today. May you bless our offering and work through our gifts to sustain our kingdom work here and to bring the good news into the hearts and minds of those that need to receive it. Thank you, Father, for giving us the financial blessings that enable us to give to your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we continue in this season of Christmas, we are still in awe of the gift of your Son into our world. We find great comfort in knowing that you did not come into the world to establish a new form of government, but rather to save us from our sins and to create a kingdom of believers that can have fellowship with you and embrace all the promises of your kingdom world. You have said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." May we take joy in that promise today. We pray now for those in our church family that have issues with health, be it physical, emotional, or mental. Help us as a church family to be mindful of those in need and embrace the opportunities to come alongside those in need of your compassion and understanding. We pray also for our military personnel, Sarah Skogman and Grace Koski. Thank you for their service. And I pray for the area public safety personnel, our firemen, police officers, deputy sheriffs, that they too will be safe and protected and respected for the difficult job they have in protecting our community. We pray for those that have been negatively impacted by the severe weather in the recent past. Many have lost their lives, homes, and businesses. Many also have lost electrical power and are without heat. Lord, may they know your compassion and understanding as they seek to recover from their losses and find ways to stay warm. There is so much need in our world today. We continue to pray for our country as it seeks to find truth in the midst of so much divisiveness. We pray for wisdom for our leaders, that they may make decisions on the basis of what's the best interest of our country. We continue to pray for wisdom and discernment in this transition time as we are in search for a new pastor. Bless our pastoral search committee with the wisdom and knowledge we need to have regarding the needs of our congregation and the type of pastor you have in mind for us. Thank you again for those that have been willing to fill the pulpit each Sunday. Continue to bless us now and Pastor Linda as we experience worship together. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn now with me to hymn number 179, O Thou Joyful, O Thou Wonderful. Come and share with us, Linda.
Thank you, Roger. Good morning. This morning, we're going to focus together on the scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew. Whenever you set apart time to focus on God's word, taking time away from ordinary life, it's called meditation. So this morning, meditate with me as we delve into Matthew's gospel together for a few minutes. Meditation, best done, is a rhythm of reflection. My goal this morning is to inspire and motivate you. And I'm hoping as a result that you will want to draw closer than ever before to the God who created you, and he created everything else in the universe. If you'll take time away from other activities each day and exercise your ability to believe the word of God, you will grow your relationship with Christ, and blessings will result. That's a tall order, but I believe that if you experience God through Scripture, then you will be inspired like I am, motivated like I am, and want to draw closer in intimate friendship with Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Savior of the world. As you come closer to God, you'll sense his love for you personally, and you will come to trust the Lord Jesus with more of your life. Last week's snowstorm wearied everyone who had to shovel snow. Isaiah 40:31 reminds us, those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What a promise. The storm might have slowed some of us down to wait on God. Did you slow down? Was there space in your life last week, a renewing kind of space to listen for his Holy Spirit speak to your heart? Let's go together into Matthew's gospel. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament written by Jesus' disciple, who was originally named Levi. And before he met Jesus, he worked as a tax collector. Jesus invited him, "Come, follow." And Matthew dropped everything to follow Jesus. Because Matthew collected taxes, he was used to keeping careful records. He knew how to read and write, knew the Jewish laws and the Roman laws, and he was also good at Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, the language of the people of Palestine during the first century. So it was logical for him to write this history of Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And did he ever write? He starts out with the genealogy of baby Jesus from a legal point of view, proving that Jesus is the right heir of King David. This helps us understand that just as Old Testament prophets predicted, from David's royal line came the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Take some time this month and read the first few chapters of Matthew. Today, I want to direct your attention to the middle of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 14. Jesus sees a large crowd, felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. Then you'll read how Jesus fed 5,000 Jewish men, miraculously, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, prayed, broke the loaves, and gave the food to his disciples to distribute among the people. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I recall that Bible story. But here's where meditation helps us. Roll the context over in your mind. It's important for you to understand that first century Greco-Roman culture was brutal, and had no respect for women or children. So only the men were counted. Because girls were weaker than boys and slaves were normal in that culture, girl babies were often thrown on the garbage heaps after birth. Therefore, it was that culture's custom to only count males. To be culturally competent, Matthew recorded the number of men, not all the people who were fed. But it's not a stretch to assume that the crowds who heard about Jesus included families. Say each man had one child and its mother, then at least 15,000 were fed that time. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Afterward, Jesus went alone to meditate and sent his friends across the sea in a boat. Later that night, winds blew, waves tossed, and Jesus' disciples got anxious in that boat. Jesus walked on the surface of the water toward them, but his disciples thought he was a ghost and cried out in fear. In verse 27, Jesus calmly speaks, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Still unsure it's not a ghost, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, if, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." Peter steps out of the boat and walked on the surface of the water. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And when he began to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, took hold of Peter, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Later, Jesus healed great multitudes, and all who even just touched his garment were healed. After that, Jesus began reaching outside the Jewish community to us, Gentiles. He goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon, Gentile territory, encountering a Canaanite woman. Canaanites, remember, were historically the enemies of the Jews. And she's a woman, even less likely to get what she needed. She begged Jesus to heal her daughter. And he asserts a boundary. "I came to save the lost sheep of Israel." His disciples urged him, "Send her away." But the Canaanite woman believed in Jesus' power to heal. She humbled herself. "Even the dogs get to have the crumbs under the table." And she asked again. Then Jesus praised her and blessed her. And because he said, because of this woman's humility and faith, Jesus healed her daughter immediately. Think about that. Then he healed multitudes of Gentiles for 3 days without stopping and felt compassion for the crowds who had come and stayed all that time. So he asked the disciples to feed them. But again, the disciples want to send the people away. They obviously didn't believe another miracle could be done. The disciples had been with Jesus for almost 3 years now, witnessing hundreds of miraculous healings, exorcisms, multiplying provisions, but they still don't really trust him. What did he do? Earthly leaders might scold or criticize. But Jesus merely asked the disciples, "What's available?" 7 loaves and few small fish," they reply. Then Jesus prayed, broke the bread, and multiplied the fish and fed 4,000 men. And if all the families were counted, he fed at least 12,000 people, at least, that day. Afterward, there was so much left over that the disciples collected 7 big baskets of food. After these profound miracles, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answer, "Some think you're Jeremiah or Elijah, a resurrected John the Baptist." Jesus answers, "But who do you yourselves say I am?" Here's the point. God is asking us, who do we say he is? Jesus' disciples had been walking along with him almost 3 years, witnessing all these miracles, even getting to walk on water themselves, and yet they didn't get it. Their faith in him was minuscule. Finally, Peter steps up. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Whenever I read that, I get goosebumps, because that's the first time one of his disciples recognized who Jesus really was. Jesus is the Son of the living God, creator, sustainer, healer. Folks, to meditate is an act of our human will. Reading the Gospel of Matthew and thinking about it in detail. Meditating, much like a cow chews her cud, we slow down, focus on a passage, roll it over in our minds until we get it. The meditative process helps you develop a closer relationship to Christ Jesus, who always says, "Come." There is much to learn about the power of the Lord Jesus and his life in you who believe in him. Colossians 3:3 says, "Your life is hidden with Christ in God." Walking through a beautiful woodland scene, you might have moments of spontaneous meditative experience, as Brennan Manning writes. Our moments of spontaneous meditative experience can be understood as moments of fleetingly awakening to our self hidden with Christ in God. And Galatians 3:3 says that too. Christian meditation practice is a rhythm. To have a rhythm, you have to repeat something. Meditation is meant to be repeated, a way of repeatedly understanding the mercy and grace of God, a way of gradually opening ourselves to this graced realization of our soul's oneness with God that for the believer is our very personhood. Pastor Dennis Anders made a point of meditating on scripture daily. His practice is called Lectio Divina. To sit in meditation is to sit upright so your lungs have room for as much oxygen as God designed for your breath. Sit right here in the pew, silent and still, restfully breathing. Open your heart and mind, your inner self, to the Word of Christ, the Son given to us by God. Slow down. Breathe in with thanksgiving to God for your breath. Breathe out all that is not honoring to God. Breathe in the love of God in Christ. Breathe out any weariness you feel. Breathe in the peace of Christ. Exhale the anxieties that plague you. Breathe in the hope of Christ. Breathe out your fears. Finally, I'm 73, and each morning I wake up surprised again to find myself still here. Like strong coffee, the discovery is rejuvenating. Think about where we have been. If we're in Minnesota, we have traveled almost 20,000 miles since yesterday, the earth spinning from day to night and back to day. In the words of Christopher Flannery, when we further reflect that without batting an eye or breaking a sweat, we have rocketed over 1.5 million miles in our orbit around the sun since this time one day ago. And we are now going to start over and perform these same mysteries and miracles again in a mere 24 hours. We become almost tempted to the sin of pride. But it was God who intelligently designed the earth and solar system and put us here. So it is every New Year's Day, but on a scale at least 365 times more inspiring. Now reflect that just in our daily rotations, we have spun over 7 million miles since last January 1st. And in our orbiting around the sun, we have sailed an unthinkable 568 million miles through space. Once again, astonishingly and without mishap, we have revolved around the sun and come back to where we started, to begin anew. Winter has turned to spring, summer to fall, and back to winter. This cosmic new beginning inspires a kind of ambition, a new year with no mistakes in it. The world is ours to conquer. Today, New Year's Day, is the morning of 2023. Like the mornings of mere days, it inspires fresh hope, but on an immensely grander scale. I invite you to begin a Christian meditation practice each day. See what God's Holy Spirit will begin in you here in Virginia. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we've worshiped you this morning in spirit and truth. We've obeyed your command to praise you and pray for one another. We ask your Holy Spirit to bless this congregation and these elements as we partake of the holy sacrament of communion that your Son Jesus instituted on the night he was betrayed, taking bread, giving thanks to you for it, breaking it, and sharing it with his friends, the disciples. Bless everyone who sits in silence, contemplating your holy word, listening for your Holy Spirit's nudging, knowing that you are holy. And we dare not ask for your guidance or help without first forgiving others and asking forgiveness of you. Bless everyone whose faith is only a tiny mustard seed. Bless that seed and grow it into a great big faith. Because you are a great and glorious God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing, and then we're going to partake of the bread and cup. Let's turn to song number 183. Thank you. Can we have the communion servers come? On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat," and we'll take it together. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." Thank you, Lord, for the gift of redemption, that you are our Savior because you were willing to die for all of our sins, past, present, and future. That is no small thing, and we honor you. Take it. We're reminded that the life is in the blood. When we see transfusions going on at the hospital, the life is in the blood, and Jesus was willing to shed his blood for our redemption. Take it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful sacrament. We ask you to bless each person here, and we ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit's power to reach out in the community and draw people here, Lord, that they can become one with us And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 151. Let us sing the blessing.